Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hal Turner Show, live from metropolitan New York City in the United States of America, coming to you on global high-frequency radio stations, WBCQ, WRMI, and WWCR. Together, those three stations carry this radio show to almost 100 countries around the world. The show also streams live from my website, HalTurnerRadioShow.com. We talk about news and issues of the day on this show. More often than not, news that the mass media simply doesn't report. If you'd like to call this show to express your opinion about news, telephone number you can dial, country code 1-201-771-3013. Over the weekend, there was a peace conference in the country of Switzerland. 93 countries from around the world sent delegates to this peace conference to deal with the ongoing Ukraine-Russia conflict. Ukraine, of course, was represented. But out of all the countries in the world that attended this gathering, the one country that wasn't even invited was Russia. Now, I know I'm only 62 years old, and so I'm not the most learned man in the world, but it does strike me as a little bit odd that anyone who is rational would call a peace conference between two warring nations without inviting one of the two warring nations. It just doesn't seem to make sense to me. Now, I admit I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and, you know, maybe my elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. Maybe I'm 3 cents short of a dollar. I don't know, but the whole premise of this thing was a fraud. That's what I think. This was never about bringing peace to the Russia-Ukraine conflict. This was a grandstanding event by the United States and Great Britain to get all their little vassal countries from around the world to come together and put on a show to try to bring pressure onto Russia to leave poor little Ukraine alone. Well, some interesting words were spoken at this so-called peace conference. Among the words spoken was that Russia should be broken up. Does that sound like a peace conference to you? Day one of this conference on Saturday was so egregious. The president of Colombia, South America, walked out. The peace conference began with the president of the host country, Switzerland, speaking to the gathered participants. Swiss President Viola Amherd actually talked what sounded initially like common sense, saying, quote, "We all understand that a peace process without Russia is inconceivable," unquote. And yet, that is exactly what they were doing, and that is exactly what they went on to continue doing, holding a peace conference without one of the combatants. And then Swiss President Viola Amherd had the temerity to say, quote, "We can pave the way you know, for peace. And she continued right on with this peace conference, even though she said it was inconceivable to do so without Russia, whom she did not invite. It went rapidly downhill from there. President Duda of Poland addressed the assembly and said, quote, I propose to divide Russia into 200 ethnic states. Russia is the largest colonial power in the world and is holding 200 ethnic states captive. Now, I know pretty much all the jokes about Poland and Polish people. And most of the jokes are very funny, and the Polish people are wonderful people insofar as they're good-hearted and they're strong and they take a joke very well. But when I heard that the president of Poland suggested that Russia be divided up into 200 ethnic states, I didn't take that as a joke. I think President Duda of Poland himself is a joke for saying what he said. Now, all of you out there have various views about the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And all of you know that I fully support the Russian Federation unequivocally. And I have stated why on numerous shows over the past 2 years, so I'm not going to go into that again. But for just a moment, I was wondering if I could ask each of you, just for, you know, a minute or two during what I'm about to say, to please put yourself in Russia's shoes, just for a couple minutes. The official proposal made by President Duda of Poland to break up Russia is, in my opinion, in and of itself, a threat to the existence of the Russian state. Think about it. The sovereign president of sovereign country of Poland, speaking to the 93 countries invited, I think 73 or 78 attended, speaking to 73 or 78 other countries around the world, proposed breaking up somebody else's country, Russia. If you were a Russian, what would you think about that proposal? Would it become clear to you, if you were a Russian, that these people that were gathered at a so-called peace conference were discussing breaking Russia up into 200 states? Would you take that as a threat? The reason I ask, for decades, the Russian Federation has a public doctrine on the use of Russia's nuclear arsenal. And in Russia's public doctrine, they make very clear that Russia will only use its nuclear arsenal if there is an existential threat, a threat to the existence of Russia. Now, it seems to many people that the president of Poland, by uttering this position, may have politically signed his own country's death warrant. And then there was almost like a joke when one of the next speakers came up, the president of Finland. Finnish President Alexander Stubb complained that Russia had invaded his country, Finland, during World War II, and said that Russia took 10% of Finland's territory. That sounds so terrible for Finland, doesn't it? except that the president of Finland left out a small detail. For those of you who are not strong in history, 100% of the current country of Finland is actually a generous gift by the Russian Empire. You see, in World War II, 100% of Finland fought on the side of Hitler. Finnish armed forces were involved in the Nazi blockade of Leningrad, which today is St. Petersburg. And as such, those Finnish armed forces involved in the blockade of Leningrad were involved in the deaths of millions of Russians by starvation. People in Leningrad, now St. Petersburg, were starved to death. And not to put too fine a point on that, one of the Russians who starved to death was Russian President Vladimir Putin's older brother. Just to help put this in perspective for you. And, oh, there's one more inconvenient tidbit of history. Finland agreed to the terms of the World War II peace treaty. Russia did not take any Finnish territory by force. It's amazing to me how Finland's Nazi past just got swept under the rug. You know, maybe if the country of Finland didn't help starve millions of Russian civilians to death in Leningrad, people might take President Stubbs' comments seriously. To me, the man is laughable. Because the fact that Russia allowed anyone in Finland to go on living was quite a gift. Turns out, it appears now that that was a mistake Russia made, but I suspect it's a mistake that Russia may not make again if Finland happens to come into Russia's crosshairs again. Then the president of Colombia, God bless him, walked out of this summit. President Gustavo Francisco Petro Urrego said, quote, "I decided to suspend my visit to the peace conference in Switzerland. What we found at the conference is essentially an alliance on the side of war, and we do not agree with this. Latin America does not want more war," unquote. God bless this president of Colombia, Gustavo Francisco Petro Urrego, because he said the God's honest truth. What we found at the conference is essentially an alliance on the side of war. The foreign minister of Saudi Arabia made very, very powerful remarks. And in sum and in substance, his message was, quote, "Serious negotiation processes regarding Ukraine require Russia's presence," unquote. Similarly, the Minister of Foreign and European Affairs of the Slovak Republic, Juraj Blaner, said quite plainly, quote, "The gathering in Switzerland won't put an end to the Ukraine conflict because Russia and China are absent." So what we saw taking place this weekend in Switzerland is, for lack of a better term, a circle jerk being carried out by Western vassals of the United States. And as you might guess, there seems to be no actual possibility that any peace will actually evolve from this mutual masturbation session. However, given the remarks of Poland's President Duda, seems quite clear, at least to me, that things are about to get far worse. And for many other countries, if they have a notion about breaking up Russia. I will be back with more news after this very brief public service announcement.
When COVID-19 struck Canada, we at Schizer knew we had to respond. Our lobbyists and public relations staff went to work around the clock for our revolutionary mRNA gene therapy. Not revolutionary in the sense that it actually works, but rather that it would earn for us unprecedented profits. By convincing people to line up for our injections and pressurizing governments and employers to make them mandatory, we secured trillions for us and our investors. And thanks to partners like Justin Trudeau, who hasn't got a functioning brain cell, we can rest assured that our product will find its way into the arms of tens of millions of Canadians. Over and over and over. Schizer. Because we care about our profits. Side effects may include muscle spasms, seizures, paralysis, Guillain-Barré syndrome, myocarditis, pericarditis, Parkinson's disease, heart attack, strokes, meningitis, brain death, premature births, stillbirths, sterility, increased risk of cancer, and death. Do not consult your doctor. We own them too.
PM here in Metro New York City, this 17th day of June, 2024. Hal Turner back with you. You know, I don't want to scare you, but in my assessment, we are rapidly running out of time. Now, as I just finished reporting to you, the President of Poland publicly proposed the forcible breakup of Russia into, quote, 200 ethnic states. And he did this in Switzerland in front of 78 other countries that were attending this peace conference for Ukraine. So, quick math, that's 78 countries against Russia. It sure has the makings of world war to me. Now, this idea of breaking up Russia was first proposed by a guy named Gunther Feilinger. He is, or was, the chairman of the Austria NATO non-governmental organization. He made this proposal in April of 2023. And I have the original story that I reported on that on my website. Gunther Feilinger, his idea called for breaking up Russia into 41 separate countries, and he was traveling here in the United States at the time. He was visiting the Hudson Institute in Manhattan to push his idea. He even created a map showing how he envisioned Russia being broken apart. Now, I remember at the time, April 2023, I thought his idea was so ridiculous as to be laughable. But here we are a little over a year later. It's quite clear that his idea has gained official traction, with the President of Poland formally proposing to 78 other nations that Russia be divided into not 41 countries, but into 200 ethnic countries. Gunther Feilinger's idea has not only gained traction, it has gotten far worse. And I wonder to myself, did any of the people attending that peace conference, or any of you out there listening who may have embraced the idea of breaking up Russia, have you, any of them, or have you ever stopped to consider that the Russians may have a thing or two to say about that? I wonder, do any of the 78 countries in attendance at that Swiss Peace Conference, if any of them understand that Russia has the actual ability to nuke all of them? Russia has over 6,000 nuclear bombs. They have more than the United States. Did any of the people in those 78 countries at that meeting, or any of you listening out here, do any of you think Russia would even hesitate to use their nuclear weapons if they were faced with being forcibly broken apart? I, for one, have no doubt at all that Russia can, and I believe Russia will, do whatever they have to protect themselves and their country. Of this, there is no doubt at all in my mind. Now, given the reality of what's been going on in the Russia-Ukraine conflict, even if you just reduce your view to the past month, I have come to the conclusion that our world is headed into actual world war. And if you are not prepared or actively preparing, you and your family will have no chance at all of surviving. Now, we here in the collective West, we are solely and exclusively to blame for this. And as such, we in the West will likely be hit first and hit hardest when a world war involving us begins. And let me tell you why I think we will be hit hardest. It was the United States and the European Union who overthrew Ukraine's democratically elected government in 2014. We fomented, financed, and facilitated that overthrow. Victoria Nuland of the U.S. State Department admitted during a telephone call that was intercepted by Russian intelligence that we in the United States spent $5 billion setting the stage in Ukraine for its government to be overthrown. And when that government was overthrown, we installed a pro-West puppet government in Ukraine. Those people who were elected officials in the Verkhovna Rada in Ukraine, their parliament, they're puppets. They're not duly elected people serving the people of Ukraine. They are puppets of the United States. And then we in the collective West attended the Minsk conference in Belarus back in 2014 to allegedly bring peace back to Ukraine. And representatives from the collective West at the time, then French President Francois Hollande and then German Chancellor Angela Merkel even signed the Minsk Agreement to do that, to bring peace back to Ukraine, only to find out after the Russia-Ukraine war actually began that both French President Francois Hollande and German Chancellor Angela Merkel committed willful fraud. They both publicly admitted on TV interviews they signed the Minsk Agreement knowing Ukraine would not uphold any of the terms. They both admitted on TV they signed the agreement anyway, quote, to buy time for Ukraine to arm for war with Russia, unquote. As such, ladies and gentlemen, it was we in the West we defrauded Russia with a phony Minsk agreement. Prior to the outbreak of actual hostilities between Russia and Ukraine, I guess it was back in December of 2021, Russia proposed ironclad, legally enforceable security guarantees. They did that through diplomatic efforts. And we in the West literally laughed at them and threw their proposal in the, you know, dustbin of history. About a month later, in January of 2022, Russia made a similar proposal. And they had it delivered to all the key executives of all the European Union nations and NATO nations. It was delivered by diplomatic courier to the White House in Washington, delivered by diplomatic courier to number 10 Downing Street in London, the presidential palace in Paris, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they made the same proposal, and in that second document, they warned everyone, if Russia cannot obtain ironclad, legally enforceable security guarantees via diplomatic means, Russia will achieve them by military or military technical means, unquote. So Russia warned everyone they would use force. And what did we in the West do? We laughed at them again. Just prior, the day prior to the Russian army entering Ukraine, Russia gave Ukraine a final ultimatum. Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov and his foreign ministry called Ukrainian President Zelensky and told him, Ukraine has 5 hours to agree to not join NATO and not allow U.S. missiles on Ukrainian soil. Zelensky and Russia hung up. Zelensky then called the British Home Office and the U.S. State Department, both of whom told him, ignore the Russian ultimatum. Zelensky took our advice and ignored it. When the 5 hours passed, Russia waited 2 additional hours. And it was only then that the Russian army crossed the border into Ukraine. We in the West, ladies and gentlemen, have caused this entire problem. Yet we have the balls to claim the Russian entry into Ukraine was unprovoked. Bullshit. It was provoked by us. We are in the wrong here. And then after the conflict actually started, not satisfied that we have now caused an actual war, we took to supplying Ukraine with weapons, ammunition, and money to fight Russia. And as the Russians overcame all of that, we upped the ante again with longer range rockets, covert intelligence, target selection through airborne and satellite reconnaissance. And when all that failed, we upped the ante again by inserting U.S. and NATO troops to personally operate even longer range weapon systems. Folks, it is our people pushing the launch button on missile launchers inside Ukraine, and yet we have the balls to claim we are not a party to the conflict. We're at a stage, ladies and gentlemen, where everything that comes out of our mouths is lies. Then we started supplying M1A1 Abrams tanks and then M1A2 tanks. And they turned out to be so shitty that Ukraine pulled them out of service because they broke down so often, required huge amounts of maintenance, and ready for the punchline? Their oh-so-top-secret armor gets blown right through by Russian anti-tank weapons. The tanks are almost worthless. Then just this month, we authorized Ukraine to use the weapons we've given them to strike deep inside Russia. Well, as a matter of law, ladies and gentlemen, if we authorized it, then we are a party to the conflict, and Russia already has the right to strike us. And as I go through the last few minutes of this after the break, I think it's going to come into crystal clear view to you that we, you and me, are running out of time. I'll be back.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife.
I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, where the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
Forget the men who died, who gave that right to me.
And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today.
'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
I love this land.
God bless the USA.
God bless the USA.
From the lakes of Minnesota
to the hills of Tennessee,
across the plains of Texas, oh, from sea to shining sea,
from Detroit down to Houston,
New York to L.A.,
where there's pride in every American heart,
and it's time we stand and say,
forget the men who died, who gave their right to me.
And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today.
'Cause there ain't no doubt of this land. God bless the USA.
PM here in Metro New York City. Hal Turner back with you. So, recapping briefly, just this month, June 2024, we, the United States, authorized Ukraine to use the weapons we've supplied to strike deep inside Russia. Well, if we, quote, authorized it, then we are the authority that is waging war against Russia. We are a party to the conflict. and Russia has the right to strike us here in the United States. Next to come F-16 fighter jets. But there's a problem with those. Ukraine has no viable airfields that can be used to refuel, rearm, or maintain those F-16s. So now we're saying that those planes will be in NATO bases outside of Ukraine. They'll fly into Ukraine, attack Russian forces or Russia itself, and then scurry back to those bases outside Ukraine, which are NATO bases, and if Russia attacks them, Article 5, collective self-defense of the NATO treaty kicks in. We actually think our official public stated position is that we can let Ukraine take our F-16s, fly from our bases, go attack Russian troops and kill them, or attack Russia itself, and then fly back to those bases, but Russia can't attack those bases because they're ours. That's the level of infantile, magical thinking taking place in the corridors of the United States government and our vassals over in Europe. Infantile thinking. For their part, Russia has made clear that all of those planes, if they fly from outside Ukraine to attack Russians, those planes will be a legitimate target, and so will the air bases they take off from or land at. Russia has made that clear. Now, the absolute moment that one of those planes flies in from, let's say, Romania or Poland, hits Russians and flies back, the base they flew from or to is very likely to get hit by Russia. And at that moment, NATO's going to screech like the girly men fag that they are. We've been attacked by Russia. And it's all out war. Now, at the beginning of this Russian special military operation to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine, Russian President Putin made clear Russia's conventional forces are not equal to NATO conventional forces. He admitted that publicly. He immediately added, but Russia is also a nuclear power, and Russia's nuclear abilities are superior to NATO. Russian President Putin then went on to say, if Article 5 collective self-defense is declared against Russia, it will be a war that no one will win. Well, you and I both know the only war that no one will win is a nuclear war. And now this past weekend, we in the West are openly and publicly saying Russia should be broken up into 200 ethnic states. We're openly talking about the forcible breakup of Russia. How much longer do you think the Russians are going to wait before they tell you and me and the West, boom? I suspect they're not going to wait too much longer. And that's why if you do not already possess emergency food, water, medicine you need to live on, a generator to keep your refrigerator cold so you don't lose all your food, fuel for the generator, communications gear like a CB or ham radio, flashlights for every room in the house, portable radio and batteries for the lights and the radio, and whatever else you're going to need when the crap hits the fan, if you don't already possess it, you are going to die. I'm sorry to be so blunt, but the time for cutesy euphemisms is over. Consider this. If a single nuclear bomb hits anywhere in the United States, the federal government plan calls for the immediate implementation of martial law. Not just where the bomb hit, everywhere, the whole country. And at that moment, everything will stop. No more commerce. You won't be able to order something online and have it shipped. There won't be any shipping. No postal service, no UPS, no FedEx. That's why I am imploring you to get everything you need and get it now. Because if you do not have in your possession everything that you need to get you and your family through a couple of 3 months at least, then you're fucked. Because you won't be able to go to the store. You won't be able to order things and have them delivered. Please, in the name of God, get yourself and your family emergency supplies now while you still can. Because once the shit hits the fan, life as we know it will stop. And if you don't have what you need, you will not be able to get it. Look, you're smart people. Use your head. If the country is hit by even one nuke and martial law is declared, you're not going to be able to go out. It'll be like the COVID lockdowns, only enforced by troops with guns. No store runs. No ordering online and having anything delivered. You won't be able to get things. And all of you know, I do not sell any emergency supplies that I'm telling you to buy. I have zero financial interest in telling you what I've said. I'm not going to make a cent. I'm trying to save your lives. Now, a lot of you, far too many, literally have your head up your ass because you deny this reality. And for those of you who have your head up your ass and deny the reality, you and your family will have no chance at all to survive. Get what you can now. Have it in your possession. If it is not within reach of your hand, then you don't have it. This was made all the more urgent today by the head of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg. Jens Stoltenberg was at the Wilson Center talking about the Russia-Ukraine situation and NATO's role. And I want you to listen to the verbal slip that Jens Stoltenberg made twice in one sentence. Listen to this.
The fact that they're now delivering F-16s, of course it will create a future NATO, no, sorry, Ukrainian air force that will be NATO interoperable. NATO planes, NATO pilots, NATO trained pilots, and NATO procedures.
Did you hear the slip up? He said the F-16s will create a future NATO, Ukrainian Air Force that will be NATO interoperable. And then he went on to say, NATO planes, NATO pilots, and he slipped up again and corrected himself to say, NATO trained pilots. I'll play it for you again. Listen to the two slip ups in one sentence.
The fact that they're now delivering F-16s, of course, it will create a future NATO, no, sorry, Ukrainian Air Force. That will be NATO.
All right, so I didn't expect the music to come in over this. So we'll just take this brief time out. It's only a 17-second audio clip, and I will play it for you so you can hear twice in one sentence. Jens Stoltenberg basically admitted it's going to be NATO pilots in those F-16s attacking Russia.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't drive.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
All right. Yeah, twice in one sentence, NATO head Jens Stoltenberg slipped up and admitted NATO pilots will be flying those allegedly Ukrainian F-16s. Here it is again.
The fact that they're now delivering F-16s, of course, it will create a future NATO, no, sorry, Ukrainian Air Force that will be NATO interoperable. NATO planes, NATO pilots, NATO trained pilots, NATO procedures.
So, I think this was a Freudian slip. I think Jens Stoltenberg knows damn good and well there aren't going to be Ukrainian pilots in those F-16s. They're going to be NATO pilots. And the Russians are going to shoot down those F-16s, and they're going to get those pilots, maybe dead, maybe alive. What are we going to say when the Russians say, here, here's the pilot, you know, from this NATO country that was flying the plane. What are we going to say? Oh, he was a mercenary? He resigned from the military? Oh, yeah, when did he do that? You know, oh, 7 hours ago. See, it's all lies. Everything we in the West are doing is based on lies. And I went through, you know, the overthrow of the Ukrainian government, the installation of a puppet government. I went through the Minsk agreement in 2014. But you know something? This actually started earlier. Back in the 1990s, when East and West Germany were going to try to reunite, there were big questions for the then Soviet Union, right? What's this going to mean for NATO? And I've reported to you several times in the past, and I have the documents on my website. Secretary of State James Baker carried a message from then President of the United States, George Herbert Walker Bush, Bush 1. And Secretary of State James Baker assured Mikhail Gorbachev and his foreign minister, Edward Shevardnadze, quote, NATO will not move one inch eastward. George Bush loses the election to Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton comes in, and yo, that went right out the window. We not only moved an inch east, we moved 1,000 miles east. We brought in Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Romania, Bulgaria. Holy shit, we moved them right up to the Russian border. It wasn't Russia that moved closer to NATO. It was NATO that moved closer to Russia. And so what was the takeaway if you were in the shoes of a Russian and you know that you were told by the Secretary of State of the United States of America directly on behalf of the President of the United States of America that NATO will not move one inch eastward? And then NATO moved 1,000 kilometers eastward. What's your takeaway as a Russian? The takeaway is The United States of America lied and can't be trusted. Fast forward again. The Soviet Union breaks up and there's trouble in the former Soviet state of Yugoslavia, right? What happened? NATO entered Yugoslavia and started bombing Yugoslavia. There was fighting, ethnic fighting between the Serbians and the Bosnians, right? And NATO entered. There was no UN Security Council resolution authorizing that. There was no declaration of war. But NATO, which is supposed to be a defensive organization, entered Yugoslavia, which was not a NATO country, and started bombing Serbia and targets in Bosnia. And ultimately, Yugoslavia broke up into what? Bosnia-Herzegovina, Serbia, and some other little country whose name I can't even pronounce at the bottom, the southwest of it. And so if you're a Russian, you know that the Americans lie. Their word is no good because they said they wouldn't move east and they did. Then you see NATO, which claims it's a defensive organization, started bombing Yugoslavia, broke the country up into Serbia and Bosnia-Herzegovina without any UN authorization or votes. So if you're a Russian, what do you know about NATO? They bomb countries without authorization and they break those countries up. And then you see it was the United States and Europe that overthrew the government of Ukraine in 2014. It was NATO allies, France and Germany, that attended the Minsk conference and committed willful fraud by signing the Minsk agreements that they knew Ukraine had no intention of honoring. They only signed it, as Angela Merkel and Francois Hollande admitted, to buy time for Ukraine to arm for war against Russia. So if you're a Russian, you see, President of the United States, word is no good. NATO bombs countries and breaks them up without authorization. You see, the United States and the European Union overthrew the democratically elected government of Ukraine and installed a puppet government. If you're a Russian and you now see that that same group of people is talking about dividing up your country, Russia, into 200 countries, do you start to take that seriously? Do you start thinking to yourselves, maybe Russia should hit them before they hit Russia? Because I'll bet that's what a lot of people in Russia are thinking right now. And if they hit us, it can't be some rinky-dink hit. It's going to have to be something very, very, very serious. Now, I'm not talking about all-out 5,000 nuclear bombs. But I believe on the East Coast, we would lose the U.S. sub-base in Groton, Connecticut, and the U.S. sub-base at Kings Bay, Georgia. I believe we would lose Norfolk, Virginia, and Newport News, Virginia, the big naval base down in Norfolk. I believe we would lose the naval center in Yorktown, Virginia. That's where we store all our naval nuclear weapons. That's where the CIA trains, right, down by Yorktown, the farm. And you know how I know about that. We would lose the Washington, D.C., a decision-making center. I suspect the Pentagon itself would get hit. I suspect the CIA headquarters in Langley and the NSA headquarters in Fort Meade, Maryland would get hit. Bad hit. Maybe conventional, maybe not. I don't know. Down around the Gulf Coast, we would see probably Tampa, Florida. MacDill Air Force Base would probably get hit. We would probably see New Orleans get hit, big Gulf port. On the West Coast, San Diego, 29 Palms, California, the Marine Corps base. maybe Bremerton, Washington, the gigantic naval port we have up there. And then up there in, was it Washington or Oregon State, the submarine, very low frequency, million watt transmitter, so we can communicate while our subs are underwater all over the world. And we might also see multiple nuclear hits to all of our nuclear bases, Minot, North Dakota, all the way down into Kansas, Nebraska, all the nuclear weapons fields. I think if we get hit here, it's going to be that kind of hit. Then I don't think they're going to go for all the cities, not initially. I think they're going to go to cut off our ability to make war. Because if they don't stop us, the existence of Russia is at stake. I believe that's the thinking going on in Russia. And they have every right to think that based on United States' word being worthless. George H.W. Bush's promise delivered by Secretary of State James Baker that NATO would not expand one inch eastward proved to be a lie thanks to President Bill Clinton. NATO went into Yugoslavia, bombed the living hell out of them, broke the country up without UN authorization, without any mandate, and divided Yugoslavia up into Serbia, Bosnia, Herzegovina, and whatever else it is. The United States and European Union overthrew the democratically elected government of Ukraine, installed a puppet government, and is now arming that puppet government to attack Russian troops and attack inside Russia, and just this month authorized Ukraine to attack inside Russia deeply with American weapons. If we authorized it, then we're the authority, we're the one in control, and we are a party to the conflict. Russia has a right to hit us. And I think we're going to get hit. And I think it's going to be bad. And if you don't have emergency food, water, medicines to live on, communications gear, a generator, fuel for the generator, you are not going to survive. This is getting worse by the day. By the day. Have some cash in the house that you can live on. Make sure you don't let the gas tank in the car go below half a tank. Gas up. Keep your options open. Make a plan for your family. If the United States gets attacked, or, you know, those of you listening in Europe, if our country gets attacked, what do we do? Where do we meet? Where do we go? How do we communicate? Make the plans now. Because these folks in Washington, D.C., and the capitals of Europe, and at NATO headquarters in Brussels, seem to be psychotic. They seem to be doing everything they can, short of direct attack of Russia, to cause World War III. And I think they're going to succeed. But if you are not prepared, you don't have supplies, what are you going to tell your little children when they look up at you and say, Mommy, Daddy, I'm hungry. Why don't we have food? Oh, because Hal Turner, he didn't know what he was talking about. It was fear porn. Chicken Little, the sky is falling. But we didn't prepare because we had our head up our ass and we didn't listen. Is that what you're going to tell your kid when he's hungry? Don't wait. Get supplies. Bags of rice, bags of beans, boxes of macaroni, jars of sauce, a way to cook without electric. It ain't hard, folks, and it ain't expensive. Thanks for listening. I'm Hal Turner. Good night from New York.